In the middle of the year, I was in South America, traveling with a group of pilgrims from our diocese towards World Youth Day. And the trip started off really wonderfully. We were in Argentina and visiting the Cathedral of Buenos Aires, the place where Pope Francis had been the Archbishop. We did various other visits to places like the great shrine of A Lady of Luján, and across to the Colonia de Sacramento in Uruguay. We went through the Jesuit missions and places like the Iguazu Falls, and then into the wonderful and the largest of the Marian shrines in the world at Aparecida. But then by the time we actually made it, though, into Rio de Janeiro, the weather had turned quite badly against us, and it was quite wet, quite flooding, in fact. And most of the events around World Youth Day were deeply affected by the rain, and the final venue for the World Youth Day was completely flooded and washed out by the depth and the extent of the rain, to the extent that part of the field that was set aside for the final vigil and the mass was now overrun with alligators. And so they decided it probably wasn't the best place for 2 or 3 million young people to be camping out. Now, you would expect the Holy Father to be a bit upset by, you know, all of this, and to be, you know, kind of annoyed with the organizers and whatnot. But no, when he welcomed the young people, he said, "In fact, we expect the World Youth Day to be a messy affair. And I want the church itself to be messy. I want you as young people not to stay huddled together in the church, but to go out into the world that is often quite messy." In fact, of course, Christmas itself is a very messy affair. I mean, we have the little baby, and we all like little babies because they're all so cute, and they look little tiny fingers and little tiny toes, and it's all so beautiful and cute and innocent, and we can contain, and the, you know, little baby is just gorgeous and safe and, okay, a little bit messy at times, and that's one of the great things of only being an uncle. You can hand them back. I have never had to change a nappy yet. It's just a great thing that I'm like, nah, sorry, it's not my responsibility. Dad, mum, that's over to you. But in fact, the messiness of this scene, we cannot underestimate. In fact, the moment that Mary conceived, can you imagine what the talk of the local village would have been like? Oh, did you hear that Mary's pregnant? You know, the one that's always there, the first one there in the synagogue and always saying her prayers so beautifully. You know, the one that we always said was the one most likely to be a nun. Okay, a bit anachronistic, but anyway. And she's pregnant, and we've heard that Joseph isn't the father, and she's not married, and still a teenager, and all of these terrible things that perhaps people would have gossiped about. Messy indeed. I mean, now it's still something of a scandal when a teenager gets pregnant out of wedlock and all of that. Then the fate of an unmarried woman was to be put to death. It's a pretty brutal kind of scenario. And that was the situation that Jesus was born into. So even as they travel to Nazareth, according to the Gospel of Luke, they're still not married. And so Jesus is born, pardon the French, but as a bastard child. Messy, messy. And where's he born? Of course, the stable, the cave. Not the beautiful kind of scene with all the pretty flashing lights. They probably didn't quite have the flashing lights and the silk and the satin and all of that. I mean, we've all grown up in areas where we've smelt agricultural kind of produce, haven't we? We know that it's not the prettiest of smells. I mean, you don't get people selling aftershaves or colognes or perfumes that smell like stables. No. Well, at least if you do, they don't sell very well. Messy. It's a messy, horrible kind of scene. Who are the first people to turn up on the scene? Not the A-class people, not the people that you want to be there at your party, but flaming shepherds, the lowest of the low, the scumbags of the earth, and they're the ones who turn up. And you can imagine what they would smell like after being out there looking after the sheep, not having anywhere to bath, just being covered in filth and muck. What would Mary have said when one of the shepherds said, "Oh, can I hold him?" Who knows? She probably said, "Sure, I probably smell just as good as you do after being on the road for a number of days." So the scene that we have, we shouldn't over-sentimentalize. It's a beautiful scene, yes, but a scene of deep reality, a scene that illustrates the way in which God wants to be in relationship with us. When Jesus grew, he continued to desire the same messy situations. He didn't go for the holy people. He didn't go for the ones who had said all their prayers and done all the right things. He found, again, the lowest of the low, the outsiders, the scumbags, the sinners, the betrayers, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. These were the people that he decided that he wanted to spend his life with, to share his love, to demonstrate what kind of God it is that we experience first there, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feed trough. God is there to nourish us. And God is there to demonstrate that no matter where we are, no matter what we've done in our lives, he wants to be part of that. He's come wading into the leftovers of the animals in order to provide for us a sign of a God who wants to be part of every area of our lives. A God who's not afraid of our sin, a God who's not afraid to get amongst it in order to show us a different possibility, in order to show us that in the midst of that mess, in the midst of that reality, there is life, there is love, there is salvation. Because his name will be called Yeshua, Jesus, the one who came to bring us from the wilderness into the promised land, the one who came to bring life, the one who came that we might no longer be stuck in the mire and the muck, but we might discover that, no, God has dwelt among us in order to free us, in order to show us the way of life and love. And that's why we celebrate. We shouldn't stay in the safe zone of the beautiful nativity scene. We should remember that it's into the muck and the mire of our lives that Jesus has come to actually bring freedom. If he didn't do that, if we just left it in this sweet, cute, and sentimental scene, then it's pretty, it's nice, but that doesn't save us. It's only when we get to the cross. It's only when we get to a God who says, "Your sin is so disgusting, and yet I take it away from you. Your sin is so messy, and yet I rejoice to receive that from you." This year, as we finish it and as we move into 2014, let's be people who rejoice that God came to be part of our messy lives, to free us, to love us, and to save us.